everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable number 295. Today we're going to be talking about all things Sense8 because it's officially our Sense8 wrap-up episode. Very exciting. My name is Karen. I will be your host today. I am joined by fellow super fans Danielle and Mitch, as well as a couple of newbies, Kristen, Caitlin, and Natalie. We have six people today. It's a big episode. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Howdy.
So many voices. Okay. If you would like to get into contact with us, please email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at re_watchable or find us on rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. As always, we are going to start off with some fun facts so you can get used to our voices, especially because there's quite a few of us today. And, who should I choose first?
Choose me. I have one ready.
Okay, Mitch, what's your fun fact for today?
My fun fact and teaser for not about the weather is that I just saw Anastasia on Broadway, and everybody in the theater was incredibly disappointed.
What?
Find out why in the next episode of Not About the Weather.
Oh, no.
What?
Quick
why?
Fun fact. You'll find out, not about the weather.
Oh, my
that
gosh.
That is cruel.
It is cruel, but we have to plug our stuff. We did the book on there.
Just explain. Such a tease, Mitch.
Just explain, because how is that going to be relevant to Not About the Weather?
We'll find a way. Trust me.
Is that your biggest issue of the year? Because we're going to
we'll
later.
Get to it, Natalie.
All right. That's very confusing to me.
Okay. I know.
Fine.
Okay. Everyone is very stressed out right now. So.
I know. I could tell. that was such a mic drop.
Just explain. Just explain.
I'm saving.
Can you give a little bit?
Yeah. Actors. Please just explain.
Actors.
Ooh.
What, there was an understudy or something happened that was wrong?
We'll all have to find out soon.
No, Mitch, fine, I'm going to ban you from talking about it. I'm not that bad. I'm serious. I don't like this kind of game playing and we don't have time for this. So what? Anyway, whatever, Mitch.
Next fun fact.
Okay. Caitlin, what about you? What's your fun fact?
So my fun fact is that I've been taking full advantage of being on vacation, and I am reading my fifth book of Vacation.
Whoa.
Wow.
Woo.
I'm very much enjoying not working right now.
Living the best life. What's been one of your favorites?
Probably the last Conqueror Saga book, Bright We Burn, was great. Ooh. I also read Sadie, Karen.
Did you like it?
It was good. I don't think I liked it as much as you did, but it was good.
That's fair.
And I'm currently reading Dread Nation, which is about zombies of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. I remember that cover. That was a cool cover.
Yeah. I don't know if I realized there were zombies in that. Well, now I have to read it.
It's the main character is born and 2 days later, the dead rise at Gettysburg. And then the story kind of moves forward. So there's all the cities are surrounded by walls because there's the dead walking around.
Ooh. Cool. I like it. I'll add it. I'm pretty sure I have that book still, so I'll have to find it somewhere on my bookshelf. Okay. And what about Kristen? What about you? What's your fun fact?
My fun fact is that my family absolutely killed Christmas this year. They did a really great job. I put a picture up on my Twitter account earlier today of this it's a trinket tray, but it has a Niffler standing up on it that you can drape your necklaces on. So it looks like he's stealing all the shiny things.
Oh my God.
It's so cute.
So cute. I'm in love.
I just saw it.
It's so cute. I'm in love. But my mom also got me a gravity blanket.
Really? I want one. I really want to try this.
I'm honestly in love. It's so cozy and just comfortable and wonderful that I'm, yeah, it's
but
really
can cool. You fit two people under it?
I mean, probably.
Apparently, it's just going to crawl into your bed one night, Kristen.
Well, apparently even when you have the same even when it's two people sleeping in the same bed, like a couple with gravity blankets, you're allegedly meant to have two single, like, you're meant to let them weigh you, you know, if it's going to weigh you down on all sides, you're meant to have like two small ones for you, like one for each person.
Yeah. Like, but
not,
it's,
they're not
it's,
that shit.
Shareable. Still quite wonderful, and it's I'm still testing the theory. I've only been using it for a couple days, so I'm still like measuring how much better sleep I'm getting, but I honestly have noticed that I feel more rested in the morning, no matter whether I've gotten like 3 hours or 6 hours or 8 hours of sleep. Like, I feel better rested, so that's that. I mean,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm in love.
I'm jealous. What about you, Natalie?
My fun fact is that we will be releasing a end of year episode about of Not About the Weather, talking about our ultimate hype and ultimate gripe of 2018, which will be recorded sometime this weekend. However, it will be coming out, because it is for the end of 2018, before this episode comes out, the first, which will come out on Tuesday, the 1st of January. Therefore, my fun fact would be, I want to know what the hell Mitch was talking about. because this episode will come out after that one does.
Oh, okay. I didn't, yeah. Long story short, I can easily go into it now. They had like the fourth understudies for both roles, and there was meant to be like a stunt casting of celebrity Cody Simpson in for the male lead, and he just didn't show up, and neither did their originator, Christy, the role of Anastasia. So everybody in the theater was really disappointed. There was no insert in the playbill, and what? During every That's missed note, weird. Every missed cue, every flat, everything, every flat performance, everybody would look at each other and be like, is this for real? Is this Broadway? Did we just pay $200 for these kind of tickets? Like, it was mind-blowing.
The fact that there's no insert is really weird, and I'm sorry about that. I'm a very big believer in, like, that understudies, like, do a really difficult job and that people shouldn't be mean like, seeing an understudy. But, like, that's really strange.
Oh, well, they did the best job they could have, and they looked exhausted because I had a monocle. Yeah. Duh. And I was looking in on them, and, like, they
it's clearly, like, some emergency, like, last
Absolutely.
Minute. Like, wow.
Holidays or something, I don't know.
It's a beautiful.
I mean, I've seen plenty of good musicals, but my friend's mother, who's with us, it was her first Broadway show. Mm-hmm. She's seen tours and all, but this is her first proper. Aww. And yeah, she was like, I don't know why people would go to see them because that was so bad. I was like, don't worry. They're not all like this. This is the first time this has ever happened to me.
That's not fun at all.
Well, it's no longer teased either, so nothing's fun about it.
Mitch, weren't you in New York City when the aliens attacked?
Oh, probably. Yeah, there was like a transformer that exploded.
Yeah.
And
Leo, bright blue.
So how many superheroes did you come across so far?
Well, I'm one now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I have a thing with aliens, so I don't know.
Yeah, Mitch got abducted a couple of years ago. A
couple times,
apparently,
actually.
Yeah, total origin story. Like, that whatever happened is definitely the origin story of some kid who's like... No, like
it's Miles Morales. He's here.
Cool. One of my other friends was also in New York City at the same time, and it was just like, all right, guys, this is weird. I don't know what's happening. Danielle, you're next.
So my fun fact is slightly similar to Caitlin's, is it, in that it involves books. And I believe this was... This year, I read the most books that I've ever read in my life.
Oh, lucky you.
It is currently December 29th, as we are recording this, and I have read 91 books, and I think I should get another two. I'm like halfway through Anna and the Apocalypse, surprising no one, and I think I should have at least another one after that before the end of the year.
How?
So I'm very proud
That's
of myself.
That's amazing.
It's a lot of books.
That is so many books.
You definitely beat me this year. I like fell off the radar somewhere around May and just forgot to read for like 3 months.
I think I have a really bad guilt complex that a lot of people know. And so when I get free copies of books, I feel really guilted into having to read them. And so there aren't many books that I have received that I have not read.
I, as many people know, do not have this guilt complex because yep. our apartment is full of books that I've gotten for free and haven't read.
And then I come visit your apartment and take even more for myself. Yep.
Yeah. And fine. I fall somewhere in between where it's like, feel guilty, but I try and read it all. And yeah, it doesn't always happen. Yeah.
You could donate them to places like
I do. People yeah.
who need books.
Mm-hmm. I've brought them to like local libraries and I've given them to friends and all that kind of stuff. So it is really nice.
Awesome.
I want to say like I wish books just showed up at my house, but I might also have an issue. I also have a lot of books in my house that I haven't read that I've also mm-hmm. bought. Like, yeah. So
same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have some Lauren Graham books to catch up on. I don't know how that those slip between the cracks.
She has books.
She has multiple.
She has a fiction, and then she has two autobiographies, and one of them is about her time on Gilmore Girls.
I think that's the only one I've heard about.
Yeah, I've read Someday, Maybe.
And then there's Talking As Fast As I Can from Gilmore Girls to Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't read her two autobiographies, but I've read her fiction, and it was actually really good.
I shouldn't say autobiography. Another was like a speech extended into a little book. It was in conclusion, don't worry about it. And like one of the clips that I loved in the back was like, if you're meeting a man after you spent 4 hours in wardrobe and hair on the red carpet, he's already having too high of expectations of you. So just don't go with it.
Problems I don't have.
Yeah. It's basically like a grown up version of Oh, the Places You'll Go.
Hmm. Well, sticking with the book theme, I guess, I'm currently reading Slayer by Kirsten White. And yes, it's about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, kind of.
We have feedback about that, actually.
Do we really?
A little bit. A little suggestion it's from for it, but Laura, please.
Yeah, because she was like, you have to read this book. And I was like, I already am. So far, I'm only a few chapters into it. So far, it's pretty good. And for everybody who hated Buffy, you should read this book because the main character also hates Buffy and it's really funny. And I'm hoping
that futuristic one, when is it set? It's about a Slayer, another Slayer who.
Right. It's about the last Slayer ever. And
how is that possible?
You'll have to read the book to find out.
Have to read or wait for Not About the Weather, baby. Maybe that'll come up on there too.
and she hates all Slayers. She was part of the Watchers Council and she hates all Slayers. And then come to find out, she's actually a potential and now a Slayer. And it's about her dealing with that. And it's got a lot of action so far and it's really well written and it's very interesting. But like I said, only a little ways into it. So I'm wondering if like she's going to hate Buffy through to the end of the book or if it's going to kind of be a little bit of a, like an apologist for Buffy and some of the decisions she's had to make.
Listen, hit me up if you get some Spangel action in there.
I will do that. I will do
or Rat Amy. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh, that would be funny. All right. So now that we've all shared our fun facts, we're going to get into the discussion of, you know, just Sense8 in general. Do our little wrap-up episode. It's not going to be anything crazy, but wanted to get some final thoughts from everybody. And speaking of final thoughts, Natalie, you're the only one here today that wasn't on the movie episode of Sense8.
Yeah.
So I think our listeners want to know what you thought of it and if you liked it and anything that really jumped out to you.
Yeah, I did. I made some notes. So I, this episode, like I loved the finale. I will still say I have no freaking idea what was happening with Angelica and Jonas, literally still to this day. Like I maybe I just have like I hit like a wall of understanding when he starts talking or something because I still don't know what was actually going on. But character-wise, in terms of like the fulfillment of the actual cluster and the especially after they get Wolfgang back, and their process of getting Wolfgang back and them all being together in person. I loved it. So I have a couple of questions about what was going on with Jonas and Angelica and what actually went down. Like why they just started shooting everyone. Like I couldn't even tell you like, did Whispers survive? Like, did he get shot? Like I was really not.
Whispers blew up.
Oh yeah, Wolfgang Puck, the helicopter. That's right. That's right. Yeah, that was awesome. I wasn't sure who was on the helicopter.
Like, Kristen, exactly. Wasn't it you that was like on the last episode? I forgot about the grenade launcher.
Yeah, I forgot about the grenade launcher, and then here comes Wolfgang with it.
It's totally. I mean, no, I will tell you. I might have forgotten about that because I was kind of like, oh, is that it? Like, are they? Like, he just comes up with the grenade launcher and then, like, done. Like, that's it. Like, and so that was, I now do remember that. Okay, let me tell you the things that I liked, because that's fine. Like, I honestly don't care that I didn't really understand that, like, BPO plot, because maybe on rewatch it would be easier to put the threads together. Still don't understand if Angelica and Jonas were evil or not. Like, I really just have no idea, but I don't care. I loved the character stuff with the cluster in this episode, like, so much. I was really excited about most of it. I'll tell you the things that I really loved. Detective Munn, the whole way through, he's like a dream man. Like, love him. I just makes me, like, giggle. Like, he's just incredible. And because she's such a cold bitch, and the fact that, like, it works on her, even though she's not, like, showing it and stuff. The fact that he's kind of, like, you know, it's one of those classic things where, like, one partner is very tough and the other one is really demonstrative and, you know, you would think that the other person wouldn't go in for that, but it totally, like, works on them. And I love that. He was just incredible and they were just so incredible. It was the most I've ever liked Sun. I mean, I know I have liked Sun the whole way through and I feel like I would like her again, but I like on a rewatch, but I really loved I loved her being around the others in person. I felt like it changed something in her, maybe. I loved Wolfgang's pink jacket and everything on the tourist bus was genius.
Yes.
We talked about that a lot.
That is, like, when I think of Sensei, that is my stick-out moment.
Everything about it on the tourist bus was incredible. I loved all of the sidekicks getting pulled in. And I didn't love that we never saw the explanation with Danny and Hernando. Like, I liked that they know, but I would have liked to see, like, you know, we clearly walk in on, like, Leto's just explained everything or, like, whatever. And that, I would have liked to see that. And we had that again with Rajan as well. Like, we don't get a lot of the conversations of, like, so this is who I am, this is what I do. We get, like, a jump cut to, like, they've just been told. And I don't know why, but I would have liked to see some of those conversations.
I think it would have been repetitive, though, since we already know all that information. That's true.
And we've seen it with, like, yeah, I guess, you know, whatever, that's fine. I love them all physically sharing the space, like, you know, Leto running around, like, being dramatic and, like, it just, and, you know, them all being together in that way. I felt like that was really great. Like, there was really something special to that. I loved Wolfgang's speech after they rescued him. Like, it's very simple, like, you know, he was like, I want to say something. And he said, like, four words, but they were, like, really, like, just the way he very simply was like, thank you. I was like, I cried at that. And then I loved the sing-along of Depeche Mode, I Feel You. Obviously, I love that song anyway, but that was, like, very cool, like, that montage of them all traveling to Naples and singing along. And I love the pizza that they ate so much that it triggered me that I had to go and get pizza, though it was not that good. Though I did have a very good Neapolitan pizza recently, like, of that grade of, like, or there's a worldwide pizza accreditation, like, of original Napoli pizza that they give, like, a certificate to restaurants around the world that they deem doing it the right way. And I actually had one of those recently. So
I think that's the most Natalie thing you've ever said on this podcast.
What, the pizza?
I got triggered and I had to go eat pizza.
Yeah, it's true. I really, really, really true. I'm really bad with food. I'm like, I can get really emotionally upset about being triggered about food. So this was just like, they were all making those moaning noises. I was also making the moaning noises because I know exactly what that tastes like. And I had to go and get some other pizza, the leftover pizza that I had in my fridge to feel like slightly satisfied. I liked most of the character stuff. I loved that everyone had like a moment to shine, including all of the sidekicks, like, you know, Danny with the gun and Rajan, and like basically like everyone contributed to the group, like in a really, like they clearly sat down and were like, okay, what moment can we give this person? What moment can we give this person in order to really highlight everyone in different ways? And I really loved that. Like Bug showing up, and Bug made me cry a few times as well. Like, he's cute. And Felix, and like, I love that all of those important people were brought back in. And then of course, like the Wolfgang, Carla and Rajan situation, which is so interesting to me because Karen told me a long time ago, like, because she knows that I feel like, not that this necessarily worked for me, but like that Karen knows from Teen Wolf that I think that like people who all get along and who have like weird issues about dating but are friends should all just date each other. And she told me that a solution happened on that show because of this. And I thought that it was Danny, Hernando and Leto. When she was talking, like after we started watching it, I was like, oh, okay, this is the solution that solved that way. She told me a while ago, she's like, when we do Sense8, I think it was on another podcast or something. And I'm like, but she said like Sense8 has a problem that is solved in that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
That was a long time ago, but yeah, I do remember.
It was. And when we started watching it, I was like, oh, okay, it's Danny, Hernando and Leto. But I think you were actually talking about Wolfgang, Rajan and Carla.
No, because I think that was before the finale came out. So I was talking about
none of them.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. Wow. In that case, I was right. But then I thought, but I mean, that's an even better solution. But yeah. I will say, I love that it happened. I don't love that we had all of this drama about it. Like, about, like, her angst about, like, choosing one or the other when there was no come-to-Jesus moment about her not having to, if you know what I mean. Like, as Wolfgang and Rajan were just, like, pretty much, like best friends from the moment they met. and that just happened supernaturally without it being a big drama. Like, you know, I love Wolfgang in my cluster, and what clearly happened with Rajan is that, like, you know, because when she wanted to get married, she didn't think that she loved him, or she didn't know what love was. She didn't feel secure about it, and so she didn't feel that way. What I feel like happened was that Wolfgang, because she was a sensate, because she could literally feel what other people feel, because she, you know, had this like echo loop with Wolfgang about feelings, that she understood, like, through him, like, she knew for sure, like, how she felt. And once she knew that, she realized, or that she also fell in love with Rajan, like through his actions and stuff like that. Like once the truth was told about what he was doing, and like, she realized that like Wolfgang gave her the security and the kind of confirmation that she, cause her issue was like, oh, what if this isn't the most I can feel, if you know what I mean? Now she knows the most that she can feel, and through the course of the series has also like fallen in love with her husband, especially in this final few episodes. And that's great. I think that's fantastic. I don't love that we had all this fucking angst about it for like years that was so easily swept away. Like I wish that we'd had this come to Jesus moment of her sitting them down and actually being like, I've had all of these issues, you know this, you know, and them actually talking about it and deciding on it.
Yeah, because I feel the same way.
The solution is great. I love it. It's just, like, I don't know what they, like, they're so ridiculous, this show, but it's a great solution in my opinion. But I never would have dreamed it was possible, much like Rajan says at the end of the show, because they were all making such a fucking drama about it that, like, I, you know, thought that they would never, like, that Carla would never think that that was okay, or that, you know, that Rajan would not have it as an option, that he would be angry about it. And I understand that him and Wolfie met in, like, a very trial-by-fire situation. Like, you know, they went through something. It wasn't just, like, nothing. Like, Rajan literally walked into a crisis and was swept up in it, and so he kind of had to get through that. But I still, after all this time spent on that arc of Carla's, for it to be resolved as, like, not a big deal, it should have been a big deal, you know?
Yeah, that's, I think a lot of people feel that way.
That's my gripe about that, but I did like the solution. And I don't know, I liked many moments. What were you guys, give me some of you guys' favourite moments from the finale before we move on, like, or the questions that I asked about fucking Angelica and Jonas and Peggy and stuff, like, you know?
Well, I think we all hate Jonas still.
What's going on? Was he evil? Who can tell? Like, I don't understand what his motivations were, aside from
was really unclear.
Angelica.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, what was going on is that they both, especially Angelica, did bad things in order to ultimately do a good thing, which was trick and defeat Whispers. And it's, you can't really forgive her for the things that she did.
Yeah, but ultimately it helped. She was a mole. Like, yeah. I got that the whole time, but, like, to what end? Like, I don't understand.
Building that
just to save her own cluster. That was my understanding of it. So I don't give her as much leeway as you do, Karen.
Personal. It was because she was, like, tracking her own cluster, right? Through pain. Like,
yeah.
Who was the chairman? Was I meant to know who that was?
Not really. That was kind of like a last minute addition. This is like the bad guy who's worse than the bad guy kind of thing.
But he took off his mask, like, oh, and I'm like, am I meant to know who you are? Because I don't, like, at all.
Only that he was one of the guys who was caught in the explosion previous in the episode, or in the movie. Earlier on in the movie, there was Angelica made one of her children blow up the BPO lab. And he was caught in the explosion, which is why he had the mask on. So you weren't really supposed to know who he was. I'm sure he was someone that they were going to introduce come season 3 or 4. But they had to do it within the space of the movie and then do that reveal at the end. But you don't get that punch because you don't really know him. But we did see him before.
Yeah.
And then the wedding was very nice. You know, a bit extra, but I cried many times. But they're all, like, speaking at the wedding, like, you know, everyone, like, the daughter of Ruth. You know, whoever her name was that's in charge of BPO now or coming in to help.
River.
BPO. River, is it?
Yeah, okay. Just like Firefly, yeah. I guess, or yeah, her, Doctor Who.
Yeah, everyone was kind of talking, like, you know, and Amanita's vows and stuff. Like, everyone was, like, talking like everyone in the room knew about Homo Sensoriums. Is that true? Are they, like, just, like, publicly aware now?
It seemed like it, didn't it?
Like, yeah, I was kind of like, okay, if you say so. But there was some really beautiful, like, very flowery and, you know, melodramatic, but very beautiful, but, you know, words said at the wedding by many people, you know, by both of the vows and everyone else. So
it was like so very, sorry,
very gushy and it was very over the top, though.
I was so distracted by how quietly they were saying their vows, but everyone was looking like they could hear it.
That's true. I'm like, is this meant to be private or is everyone meant to be hearing this? I'd actually thought that as well. So yeah, and I'm like, was Nomi's solution to all her parental problems really just like get her mother stoned? Is that gonna
hot brownies?
Yeah, is that gonna carry on like when she's not stoned anymore? Like, is that going to still be fine? Or, like, I don't know. Anyway, it was, again, I loved, what's his face? Todd is his, what's his name? The husband of Tegan? Chris, Bob, Tim, that guy. Loved him having fun at the wedding. Like, you know, loved his quiet rebellion once again of, like, you know, my favorite, like, tertiary character. But yeah, I don't know. Still no idea what was going on with BPO, but in terms of character fulfillment, I did like the end. Will and Riley and Riley's father.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why they had to end it on that gigantic sex scene, but I have a very genuine question about that. Have the Wachowskis ever spoken about, like, why they have so much, like, indulgent sex? Like, is there kind of like an artistic reasoning for it, or are they trying to make like a social point, or like, has this ever been spoken about why the sex is so there?
I mean, as far as I've seen, they're like, even through their show, saying love is art, so you need to show it as part of your art, and their art is this show. This is like their Cloud Atlas times 10, their Matrix times 10. So they're like, everything that we ever love has to go in here, and that includes love, and that includes sex to the extreme. And it's also like an HBO factor, as we keep saying, like, they're like pushing the envelope of what you could even show on anything broadcast on TV.
Like, to be like racy on purpose. Like,
yeah, to be like edgy on purpose, basically.
And then I guess my final question.
Just like,
oh, sorry, go on, Danielle.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's just them trying to portray life as well as they can. And and sex is a part of life. Sex is a part of people's like lifestyles. And it's not something to be kind of shoved in a corner. And so
that's,
I think...
That's the vibe I've always gotten from it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what they were trying to portray.
And that's the thing, like, it's never bothered me watching the show. Like, I don't know if it's just, like, I'm so embedded in 21st century culture where, like, nudity is just seen as art so often that it feels like that to me. It's almost like we're going back to the Grecian times and I'm like, let's be naked in the Olympics. Like, it doesn't even, like, faze me.
That's not the issue. I'm more talking about the level of importance given to it, like making the final scene of the whole show that sex scene and stuff like that. I'm not talking about sex appearing, though, like, it is a bit of a waste of airtime, honestly. So, like, they could be, like, you know, like, a few shots, like, they could get more dialogue in there with it. You know, we could have had a better speech between Rajan and Wolfgang and less, could have had more talking about that situation and less fucking, you know, like, it's true, and that's fine, but yeah, I'm less talking about like, oh, what they show, and more like why they show it, like, for especially like why they placed it as that final scene, like that final wreathing orgy, you know.
It felt very circular to me too, especially since like the dildo was the last thing all of that.
The episode was called Love Conquers All.
Yeah. I suppose that I did read something about like the pitch for the show about that strap on, like how specific they were about what wanting that shot in the first one, that it was like a throwdown of like, this is what this show is gonna be. But anyway, and I guess that was also kind of more confirmation that like Danny, Hernando and Lido are a romantic couple, like thruple, because I feel like that was something that the newbies were not sure about. Like, they certainly had that a few question marks about that. Like, they were very, you know, affectionate, you know, clearly living as like a family, but I think there were some questions about whether they were actually all doing sex.
I mean, there's a lot of story elements in there, because this is also the first time we see them post-marriage having sex. This is their honeymoon. It's the only way I can imagine the show going out. There are other characters like Sun and Moon that are having sex for the first time ever, it seems.
First time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, didn't they have sex while they were...
We had a whole discussion. I don't know who was on there with me. It was Nassim's episode, I know.
It was Nassim, but no, Natalie, that was them.
It was them as younger kids having sex in the locker room?
Yes.
Oh, we got to the bottom of it? Cool.
How did we get to the
buzz?
No, I agree. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying if you figured it out, then I'm happy.
No, we had this big thing. Apparently it wasn't. I Googled it.
I don't
the world may that. Never know. I think it was different actors is what it came down to. The setting
it was different actors, but it also set up a different picture of, like, was his attachment because they had sex, or was there his attachment because just because she was cool? And we, they were looking at the, like, the background shots of the arenas and the fights, and apparently it was two different tournaments. But that's not what I'm saying. That's not even the point that I was raising. Have they not had sex since they were...
Oh, I'm sure they did. There was a time jump there.
Oh, when he went to go see the dog, yeah.
I understand what you mean, Mitch. But, yeah, no, I think that they were already... Not even that. I'm talking about before he came to Paris. Did they kiss at all or anything before that kiss in Paris?
Yeah, the graveyard fight. They're very sweaty and he opens his eyes the whole time.
Anyway, he could open his eyes kissing me. I wouldn't.
Same.
He is... incredible.
I love him too.
Love with him.
The charisma. It's just, oh my god, he's so suave.
Yeah, I would just that's dangerous. He's incredible. Anyway, let's move on. Unless there's anything else you guys wanted to explain to me that I clearly have missed, or anything that you wanted to flag that, you know, you thought that I'd notice and haven't or something.
My well, upon first question, watch, I didn't get Angelica and Jonas either. You're not alone. Sometimes I still don't feel like I get them.
Yeah. My big question was what you thought about the Wolfgang thing, and we discussed that. So I want to talk to the super fans right now and kind of get a couple of questions in here for you guys. So obviously that's Danielle, Mitch, and I. And thinking about, you know, having just rewatched this for, I think it's all, we've all seen this more than just twice. This wasn't like our second time or anything.
Yeah.
Favorite character, favorite moments, what still really sticks out for you? Mitch, I want to start with you.
I think my favorite character is always going to change about a million times this go around. In the final moments, even though he had nothing to do, it was Leto. Danielle influenced me there. I'm happy to say that. I like how he's like, don't bring the carbs in the house. I'll eat them all. That's my favorite moment. But he also has so many other great moments, like when he's just like incessantly humping the wall in his trailer. He's such a weirdo. Who does that? Oh, I don't know. He's great. And he's... I like how they go as far as to make you feel as if the gun is real when he has the lighter, and then it's not. Like an act of God comes in, I guess. I think that was a really significant moment for me this go around. And he also is great how he wallows when he's doing his ice cream bit, and he's also like eating his popcorn. And then he throws the DVD out the window. I loved it all. I really did. And I felt so bad when everybody was just stripping him naked. But at the end of the day, it seems like he's happy in his role there. So if that's what you need to do in Hollywood, go right ahead.
Yeah. Danielle, I'm assuming we still know who your favorite is.
Yeah, my favorite really hasn't changed. I don't think it ever will. But I mean, to be explicit about it, my favorite is Leto. And
really? I had no idea.
Right? Go figure. I haven't been talking about him from the beginning. And that hasn't changed. I do think that my opinions, I forgot the original question, but I do think that my opinions on some of the other Sensates have changed slightly. Like this go around, I think I like Kala slightly less than I did before. It just kind of happened that way. The moments that stick out for me are, I mean, definitely the beginning of season two. Both when they get Whispers, when Will like traps Whispers the first time, as well as all of the stuff in Amsterdam, just because it's a very personal thing for me. And I saw a screening of that stuff. But Leto screaming in the Rijksmuseum, 100%. And then I always, whenever I think of the show, when we kind of talked about it before we started recording, but whenever I think of the show, I always think of the tourist sequence in the movie. I love that sequence so much, and that is very iconic. Everyone's leaning into the stereotypes. I think Wolfgang and Felix are playing a gay couple because they have like matching jackets and fanny packs.
Yeah.
I really thoroughly enjoy that sequence.
Yeah, it was incredible. And yeah, the fact that everyone was in on it, like the, you know, the sidekicks and it was so funny. I was like screaming. It was...
I wanted to ask this too with Wolfgang. Is Germany a country like other European countries may be, wherein homosexuality is like, yes, do it. We're okay with it. It's cool. What's wrong with those Americans kind of thing?
Germany has a huge gay culture, like clubbing. Mm-hmm. Like there's a huge club scene in Germany. Like people go from all around Europe to go to like exclusive clubs and stuff in Germany, and they...
Really?
Huge porn industry in Germany, like a huge adult work industry in Germany. I don't know about legality and like, you know, like what kind of social stigmas what there were,
yeah, but
Germany has always had a huge underground alternative culture, whether that's like goth clubs, rave clubs, like back in the even in the World War II, there was huge underground resistance of, like, you know, cabaret, like swinging, you know, clubs and stuff like that. So I think there is an important part of gay culture in Germany. I have no idea what, like, the social stigma on the street these days is. I think that it's pretty open, but it certainly has a long history of an important gay culture.
Right, because if it's their stereotype, I was wondering if that's something Germany is known for, like very openly gay couples in a way. I don't know how to put that.
Then definitely, yeah. I think, you know, I think that it's not. I don't think that there's too much stigma about it these days, but it's certainly got. It's certainly had a long history of it, so I think it's probably still better than America. Or certainly America is so different in different parts. America is a continent, you know, the size of Europe or whatever, so it's kind of like different parts of America might have totally different culture, obviously, you guys know this, than anywhere else. But there's certainly, yeah, they have their own gay culture that is quite prominent, I would say.
Let's yeah. Go. Well, if any of our listeners know anything else, I know we have, I think, a couple of Germans listening in. Let us know, because that is interesting. That's a good question, Mitch. In terms of favorite characters, my favorite character, it's so hard to decide, but I really love Sun for a lot of different reasons. Of course, I like all of her action scenes and everything, and I like that she does go a little soft around Moon. And it's just so lovely to watch that. I really, really enjoy it. Favorite moments, I think just a big one for me is when Will gets one over on Whispers. I think that's really a turning point in the series. And honestly, kind of leads into my next question, which is, upon rewatch, did we feel... like, did anything change for us watching this again? And Danielle, I know you talked a little bit about this. For me, it was my perception of Will, because mm-hmm. it's not that I didn't like him before, but I kind of thought of him as just sort of plain and like neutral zone, you know, kind of neither here nor there. Except on this time, I've really noticed how empathetic he is, how in tune with everybody he is, and how he's the leader of their group in a lot of different ways, but he kind of brings people up even above him. Like, he knows everybody's strengths, he knows weaknesses and their fears, and he's there to kind of like, it's not about him being the leader or him being the best or first or anything. He knows what everybody's good at, and he's
like the anchor.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it was so beautiful to watch that, and especially we see that in the movie, and we talked a little bit about that in the last episode, but my thoughts on Will have really changed, and I'm glad, because I think he's so much better of a character than I initially thought he was.
Yeah, Will, I felt like I understood like some of the reluctance to him, like, oh, you know, this, you know, in this cast, like, oh, why is the white guy, you know, white cop the most important hero? And I kind of felt like that was understandable, and then I watched the series more and was like, oh no, like they knew what they were doing. They're like basically setting up, like the people who made the show was in will, like what they were doing. They were creating like the platonic ideal of a white cop, you know, like they were being like, here's what white men with authority and privilege should act like, you know, in this circumstance. Like they were setting up a model of, you know, hopefulness. And I think Will is a very special character. Like immediately I felt he was, and basically I had, what I had to do was I had to, sorry to interrupt your super fan time. What I had to do with Will was undo, I went through the process of, oh, I like him, he's so great, you know, and then I went through a process of, do I like him because society has conditioned me to see, you know, the straight white boy as the focus? Like, do I like him because I'm susceptible to social conditioning? And then I was like, no, he is special, if you know what I mean. Like, I had to go through that process and work that out. And so I've come out of it really loving Will.
And oddly enough, I've always liked his fashion sense because I like wearing those thin hoodies that are like just a t-shirt all the time, and it seems to be his go-to. And his hairstyle is something I always wanted to emulate but never could.
Oh, and his tall Chicago-style socks too.
Yeah, it's also cute. It's like he's just so like homespun. He doesn't feel like anything big city at all.
No, he feels very Midwest dad.
Yeah, he does. Like, he'd be a great dad.
Oh, I imagine him and Riley having babies.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, so traumatic confused. As it was for her to lose her other, might be nice to move on. I've totally
forgotten about that. But yeah, I wonder if she would.
She got better for me as well, in addition to Will. Like, I liked Riley a lot more this time around.
I think I liked her a little less, like not in a bad way, just in a, I feel like in some cases I didn't know her as well as I initially thought I did. Like I kind of wanted more from her and we never really got that.
No.
But I still like her. I think Kala dropped the most for me.
Yes.
And I said before a couple episodes ago, I want to like Kala so badly. I think that she is such an interesting character. But the whole, like, who do I love kind of thing. And I think especially because she never really did, like, make that decision and they never really talked about it, that I just wanted a little bit more of a conclusion and not at the last minute. That if we had gotten that, I think I would have felt a little bit better about it.
She got so lucky. Like, she should have been burned by all of this.
That's the thing. Her in action, her, like, even Will or whoever was like, you talk to either of them yet? And she was like, no. And she was like, he was like, well, what do you want? Like, you know, she lucked out, I think. It's, yeah, in the fact that the boys were so happy to be together. Yeah. She was like, it just like fell into her lap. Like, oh, I just fucked around and didn't have to do anything to fix it. You know.
And there's something almost attractive to me about Kala's just like whimsical nature, because I can feel that way often. And I think it comes with being privileged and
not a good thing,
which is not a good thing. No, because like you have to hold yourself accountable. And when I see characters like Kala just not making decisions when there are important things to be done, it teaches me like, oh, you need to do something. You can't just let other people figure it out. Let them have the confrontation.
You know,
but she did, and I don't like it. Like, I don't like that she got away with it.
She succeeded. There is a flip side to that of, like, maybe on a spiritual level or something, she was meant to wait. Maybe her inaction was sent to her because she just needed to wait for the stars to align and that things would unfold as they're meant to. And maybe if she told Rajan, oh, I love someone else and left him and, you know, whatever, that actually wouldn't have been the best solution, because we've now seen the best solution. Maybe all of her indecision and all of her cowardice was some higher plan of like waiting for them to get the best possible answer, this answer that she didn't know was possible, you know?
I mean, it was definitely meant to be a slower burn too, rather than now we're banging, because this finale shoved these two characters together, Rajan and Wolfgang.
They still should have made time for like a 5-minute out of that whole 2.5 hours, you know, make it 2 hours and 34 minutes. And have a conversation, like that come to Jesus, that come to Ganesha moment of a breakdown and the boys being like, it's okay, like, no, or even saying like, you know, if you told me this just living at home, like may, I would have, might have had a totally different reaction. But like after all we've been through, you know, you got shot and, you know, this is, you know, you're psychic with him. Like after I've like lived through these couple of days with my own eyes, like I understand, if you know what I mean. Like there should have been at least a moment of her visibly having a crisis and the boys deciding.
And also, to call us justice, we have to understand that she's slowly falling for Rajan. She did not love him when she was marrying
him. Oh, yeah, I
understand. She was not in a forced marriage, but culturally she felt she was.
Yeah, that's I totally understand. She fell in love with him over this process, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely.
The thing that would have done a lot for Kala for me, because I have not been shy about my dislike for her, is if we had seen any amount of pressure from her family to marry Rajan. Like, if she had had that aspect where she had felt this pressure from her family to have this marriage to Rajan, that would have done so much more to sympathize her to me.
Well,
right.
I totally get you. But in this, in seeing her fall in love with Rajan, just in that finale episode, I think, for me, I kind of, and when she said to Wolfgang, you know, that he taught her, like, what love is, maybe I'm just, like, totally making this up in order to cope, you know, but I felt like maybe her issue was less that she didn't love Rajan, though she didn't. She fell in love, you know, I think that she'd fall in love with him over the series, like since, you know, since the Ajay reveal and certainly in this episode. I feel like maybe it was more that she basically didn't trust any of her feelings. I think this is also to do with that, like, you know, people say Amanita's like vows, you know, about that feelings don't, you know, people say that feelings don't matter and that you can trust feelings. I think Kala in general did not trust her emotions. She didn't know if what she was doing was right or wrong. She didn't know if, you know, she loved Rajan enough. She didn't know how she felt. And Wolfgang, because he was also a sensei in her cluster and had that kind of feedback loop, my kind of rationalization of all of this is that literally because she had that connection, she now knows, like, how to trust her feelings and then could also develop or assess or, you know, place her feelings for Rajan. So that was kind of my rationalization of her insecurity. Because, yes, I totally agree about, like, you know, why did she marry Rajan if she had this pressure and stuff like that and you didn't have this pressure. And I don't think it was particularly well executed, but I think that it might have more been to do with that Kala doesn't know, just didn't know how to trust her own heart, basically.
And now
she literally had this psychic input of what feelings are.
It's funny that we're putting such a point on this and I'm questioning why. The show does. The show has the kiss being the final reveal of the show, and then Rajan has the last line. Arguably, shh is the last line, but him saying, I didn't know all of this is possible. That's it. The drama's wrapped up with a bow with these three characters. And it's even still the conflict too at the wedding when Will's like, do you know what you're going to do? Seems like everybody else had their bow way before this, but the show was like, how the hell do we tie this up without showing the conflict? We just don't show it. That's the answer.
Yeah. All right. I want to move into some of the newbies' thoughts because we are on a bit of a time crunch tonight. So, Kristen, we haven't heard from you much yet. What stands out to you as some of your, you know, favorite character, favorite moments from this series? Because obviously you started off as kind of having remembered season one, but not really. And then everything else from there on has been all new to you.
Yeah. I mean, with Mitch and Danielle, I absolutely love Leto, but I don't understand how anyone could hate him. He's just so pure and wonderful. But honestly, I think the character that kind of landed for me more in this, in my season one rewatch and my season two initial viewing, was Amanita. I love both of them. Like, I love their relationship and all of that. Like, it's wonderful. And Nomi and her are great. But I really, really love how strong and, like, self-assured Amanita is. And I don't think I realized it as much watching them first season, but she has a lot of really wonderful moments in second season. And the one that stands out to me is at Tegan's wedding, when she just marches into the aisle to save her woman, and it's like, you go, girl. Like, it's just, she knows where she's at, she knows what is going on here, and she steps in to save the day, and it's, you know, it's just a highlight for her. So yeah, Amanita is the one for me that I really just love her so much after this.
So do I. She really stood out to me this time too. I always liked her, but some of the speeches and the kind of subtle acting and emotion that we got from her really hit me hard this time around.
Yeah.
Caitlin, you're the one that has like the biggest question mark for me, because I thought I pegged you for a Wolfgang girl, and then that did not come to fruition. So I want to know who your favorite character is and some of your favorite moments.
I never did quite warm up to Wolfgang.
Yeah.
So there's that. Yeah. I feel like watching Sense8 was like watching two different shows.
Okay.
The first season and the second season, they just felt a lot different to me. Probably because my favorite character disappeared, basically. So I sort of have, like, it affected a lot for me watching the second season. So I sort of feel like season one, y'all know how much I love Cafeus 1.0, my sweet cinnamon roll. I never did warm up to the second Cafeus. He just felt like a completely different character than the first one, and it just didn't feel like Cafeus to me. So I feel like, and this may surprise you considering what I said in season one, but I think Sun was my favorite in season two.
No.
Because in season one, she said like five words the whole season.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know anything. Like you were saying, I didn't feel like I knew Riley that well. I never felt like in season one, I got a good sense of who Sun was.
Okay.
And then everyone was like, she's so great. I'm like, she's barely a character in season one. And then in season two, it's like a breakout for her. She actually speaks. She has like a good character arc. She develops. And I found her story probably the most interesting of just about everything going on. So season one, first Cafeus. Season two, I liked Sun. Leto is delightful all the way through. I love him, of course. But I think Sun was my second season standout.
That shocks me, but makes me really happy. Because I remember being so disappointed when you were like, Sun's just nobody. And I was like, no. So that's really cool. I'm glad.
Once she actually was allowed to speak,
yeah,
and be a person, she was very enjoyable.
That's great. That's awesome.
Can I just say I loved Cafeus introducing her to his friend. What's his name? What's his name?
Jella.
Mm. I'm like Jala. Yeah, Jella. And there's the spirit of Van Damme. That was quite fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Natalie, who ended up being your fave?
I don't know. I'm susceptible to everyone. Like, I'm the kind of person that, like, it's really hard for me not to like stuff, I think. Like, I'm just like, I always find something to like. And so I don't really hate anyone except Jonas and Angelica. I originally wanted to like Jonas. I'm kind of like, he's got like soulful voice and he clearly wants something to try. You know, he wants to try. But by the end, I was so glad at like Will just being like, fuck you, every time he saw him. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Excited by that. But I like everyone. Yeah, I kind of agree with Caitlin about the second Cepheus. I'm kind of trying to keep in mind that, you know, I guess like that the cast and stuff, like, you know, because this is the new Cepheus and that the other one had conflicts, that they probably feel that this one's the more strong presence on the show. Like, you know, that the right. cast probably get along with this actor and stuff. But I think that the first Cepheus was such a impressionable, like made such an impression that it is a bit difficult. So who's my favorite? I liked most of them a lot. I agree with Caitlin that Sun really grew on me. I didn't have an issue with her before. But yeah. I would probably, I don't know, I still like Wolfgang a lot, especially in the finale. For a lot of the second oh yeah. Is he like an incest baby? What was going on there?
Yeah, he was. Brittany yes. also says Wolfgang is the best, and Mai says hard same. They couldn't be on this episode, but
yeah.
I wanted to get some.
I'm like that. that little bit of trauma was just slipped right in there at the beginning, wasn't there? Like I was like, oh, all right, or like because I googled it and I was like apparently they said stepsister, and I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure it's just meant to be his sister. Like it's I don't know if so like a you know like a rape. Baby, but
that's, I mean, either way, it was not great.
Yep, pretty horrific. But I still love him, and I'm proud of what he's overcome. You know, I liked, you know, yeah, Hernando and Lido and Danny. I still quite like Rajan. Like I liked him all the way through, and loved when he was like, "My wife's a killer," and she was like, "Oh my god, he's gonna hate me," and. He was like, teach me, and it was so cute.
I always wanted to hate him, but then, like, he ends up being so good.
Yeah, there was a moment. It's interesting. He's someone I'd really like to know, like, whether they, like, changed tracks on, like, when they were writing, if they always had this end in mind or if it was just meant to be through Carla's eyes that she thought he was, you know, dodgy and then wasn't, because there was certainly a moment where he thought he was going to be dodgy and then he wasn't, and so they took a few turns there. And, you know, I liked him and Carla being, like, both, like, you know, you're so much more than the person that I married. That's nice. Still love Will. I would say, like, top, like, I don't know, five? He's like,
have a top five.
Interchangeable, like, Amanda. Yeah, interchangeable. Hernando, Will, Wolfgang, still Carla, and maybe I can't do five. Amanita and Nomi, I've had
everybody
ups and downs with Nomi. Like I really. Because I felt like, yeah, she is really, like, self-centered but seems oblivious about that. And I feel like that's changed a bit and I feel like that's been exposed in a bit of a different way, like, with her.
Yeah, I don't think it was ever malicious. And I think as it was pointed out, she did try to kind of realize that was, you know, one of the
characters. And I also think that she's with someone, like, Amanita, who's probably, like, not...
selfless.
Bothered, not... Well, not bothered by that either. Like they didn't like that. That wasn't really something that needed to be pointed out. But I think that like people have, I think that being a sense8 has like given them all something different, like given them a different like thing that they were lacking. And I like even like having that mental connection, I think has given each of them different not fixed their flaws, but like different, enhanced and allowed them to have like a new perspective in a way that they personally needed. And for Nomi's, that might have been like that self-involvement. And I mean, she's had to be, because she's had to like be self-protective, you know?
Right.
So
yeah, I think it makes sense.
So I think that like for her, like literally having to feel, you know, so many perspectives is that, and like Sun, it's kind of made her like less isolated, and like, you know, I think they've just given them all different things. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like everybody really ended up liking the series, which was good. I mean, we all have like things that we don't like about it, which is totally fine. I think this went over way better than Buffy, so at least there's that. What I want to know is, Natalie, you already said, you know, you kind of would like to rewatch it and kind of figure out more some of the stuff.
I don't know if I would rewatch it right away, but I think that if I did
down the line,
I might follow it differently, you know.
Right.
Like, there's still a lot about it that like the actual like, well, I'll call it mythology, like the quote unquote mythology of the mm-hmm. world that I no idea, like clueless, totally don't
question the science, Natalie. Don't yeah. question the science.
Kristen and Caitlin, though, do you guys think that you'd ever rewatch this?
No.
Okay. That's fair.
mine's probably a maybe. It's not one that I would probably like run back to, like, oh, I need to rewatch the show. But I have a feeling down the line I'll probably watch it again.
I like rewatching it. Because there's so much going on that sometimes I'm just like, but wait a second, I need to figure this out again.
Yeah, there is a lot that I definitely didn't catch, or, you know, I think maybe since I had seen the first season, and when you and I watched it, we watched like an episode a day. So we were done in like a week yeah. and a half tops.
Yeah.
I think spreading it out the way we have, like maybe things would make more sense if I watched season two as one big lump rather
like more
than
tightly. Right. Yeah.
Right. Since it was created as a streaming show, like it's meant to be binged. So I wonder if watching it in one chunk would deliver a different verdict than watching it the way we did. Mm-hmm. So yeah, down the line, I'm sure I will rewatch it, but for now, I'm kind of happy to sit with it where it is and just kind of remember all of the lovely, you know, Leto and Wolfgang and
yeah.
Amnita moments that are still lingering in my head.
I feel like there's a lot of little moments. I feel like I'd probably also show it to someone else. I'd watch it like with like...
Yeah, you know, that I like doing that with shows, you know, that I enjoy.
Watch this to understand, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I would watch clips like of moments that I liked.
Yeah, like a cut, like a super cut.
Like how Brittany goes back and watches all the Angelus episodes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't see myself going back and doing a rewatch of the whole thing, but there'll be parts that I'll be like, oh yeah, remember this thing when Leto was really mad about carbs? I have to go watch that or something.
And
or Leto screaming in a museum.
I'll say one of my biggest thoughts that I had at the beginning of the show, which I still have now, and I don't know if it's just because like it's not as much of a touchstone in like pop culture as, you know, other things like Hogwarts or like His Dark Materials, Demons and stuff. I'm really surprised that there's not more fan fiction, not of this show, not like Sensate fan fiction about these characters. I'm surprised that the concept of being a Sensate and being in a cluster is not used as an AU in like Harry, you know, like Supernatural fan fiction or Marvel fan fiction or like all of the big fan fiction fandoms. I'm surprised that this concept of like, because people will do like, you know, like a whatever, like a coffee shop AU, pirate AU, but there's a lot of things like Hogwarts AU or like something like that where it's like the setting of a famous other kind of mythology, you know. You know, Hogwarts is one, like having a demon like from His Dark Materials, like the Golden Compass is one. I'm surprised that there aren't more like cluster AUs, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I feel like that would be like, you know, like a, like say the Avengers were all in a cluster or like, you know, so, you know, they obviously don't have the same birthday and stuff, but you know, like something like that, like something where that world existed, like that world of sensoriums. And I would have thought that would be something that people like used as a resource, but maybe it's not well known enough. I don't know. I'm still surprised. I've never seen one, like, even because I've always known what Sense8 was, and I've never seen one even in passing. I've never seen like a cluster AU of any fandom.
Instead of a soulmate AU, make it a cluster AU.
Exactly. Because, yeah, exactly. See, so yeah, it's interesting that I don't know how it could be done or if it should be done. There are lots of things in fan fiction that are tropes that I don't even enjoy. Maybe I wouldn't even enjoy a cluster AU. It just seems like something that.
Maybe we'll start a trend.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. All right. Yeah. Final question for our main discussion. And I'm pretty sure I know that Danielle, Mitch, and I all would answer yes to this. But newbies, would you guys like to see more Sense8 in the future? Like if they came out with another season down the line or another movie or something? Or are you glad that we came to the conclusion that we came to?
I don't think my heart could take anymore because it's been such a roller coaster being canceled and then getting the movie out of nowhere, it felt like. And then to come back again, I'd be like, I like this, but why couldn't we have just done this without the drama?
Right.
I would like a movie a year with no violence and drama.
It wouldn't be Sense8.
No, I would like a life update every year about, like, you know how I mentioned quite a few episodes ago that, like, again, kind of in the fan fiction vein, like, you could make any kind of movie about a Sense8. Like, you could make a rom-com about a group of people. You could make, like, a, you know, like, an action movie. You could make, like, a buddy comedy. You could make a drama. You could make any kind of movie at all that hinged on this, like, you know, one of the people, you know, rom-com, you know, so-and-so's in a cluster, so-and-so's not, like, you know, boy meets girl, girl has 8 other people in her head, you know, like, so I would like a movie each year about the cluster, you know, like, catching up with their lives, like, you know, like, it's just, like, you know, one of them's having a baby or one of them's doing this. And did every one of them end up in a romantic relationship by the end of the series? Like Riley and Carla.
Yes.
Riley, Will, Carla, Wolfgang, that's 4 of them. And then what? Amanita, Cassius, Lido, and yeah, they did. So we're not going to get any of those rom-coms. But, oh my God, Moon going to meet the dog. Oh my God. The dog licking Moon on the face. I really like him.
What about you, Caitlin and Chris?
Drama-free update every year about like a new way of using the Sense8-ness within the group.
I was gonna say that I would like, you know, I would watch 30 minutes of them just like they get a house,
yeah,
and just hang out like
on their birthday every year.
Yeah, I would watch that because I feel like the best part of the show is just when they are all together and hanging out and being ridiculous around each other, and I would watch more of that. I would also be intrigued for like in the future another cluster, and maybe this cluster they meet them like tangentially or something.
Maybe one of these people will birth a cluster, like they might have a real baby and they might also birth a cluster, and like the difference between their relationship with their children and their children.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
This show is so rich and there's so much that you could do with it that it does suck that it was over. Kristen, did you say whether you'd like to see something or not?
I would be game for more, especially if they could get these, you know, 8 to 15 people back, which is quite a lot, because I mean, I don't see how you could do a Sense8 continuance show without Amanita and Nomi and Will and Riley and Sun and Lido and Hernando and Danny. And like, there's so many people that make this world that it would be really weird to me for them to try and continue this story without all of them. If for some reason, if they wanted to do like a new cluster thing, that could be cool, because then you could have, you know, some of the Sense8s we know and love from here kind of show up in the new one, you know, randomly or not so randomly. So that could be cool. Like if one of them were to be a mother for the new cluster, like that could be really neat.
Yeah. There's also,
I feel like there's a lot that you can do with this show and there's a million ways that they could continue this world. So I would love to see Netflix, like, you know, get maybe see the value and the power in the show and maybe come back to it in a couple of years when some of the, you know, the vitriol that for what they put it through to get as much once the fans kind of get a chance to enjoy what the first season and what the first go round was, maybe in the future going back to this world and saying there is more to tell, there is more going on, you know, that would be really cool.
I was also thinking about this, like, I'm really focused on, like, the children aspect now, like, of the having a new cluster or having biological children. There's also, if they wanted to, an interesting trans story to be told if Nomi froze any of her sperm before having her operation. Like, and her and Amanita had a biological child. That's definitely a thing that happens with trans people, but it's not, like, a big thing told on television. So that could be an interesting trans story, especially given the Wachowskis are probably quite interested in that. So, like,
it could all be written in and not explicitly stated yet.
All the different ways that one can be a parent, especially given that we have this, you know, like that they can birth a cluster as well. Like, so I think that there's would be an interesting thing in seeing the ways that they can all become parents should they want to.
That would be cool. That would be interesting. Yeah. All right. So that wraps up our main discussion of Sense 8. Oh my gosh, we're done with this. As usual, if you'd like to get into contact with us, please email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can head us up on Twitter at re_watchable. And you can find us on rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. We love your feedback. We love your iTunes reviews. They really, really help us. And if you rate us 5 stars on iTunes, then I will tell you which shows we're doing next for the next 3 rounds. I wrote this one, you guys. See
so something that could actually happen.
Yeah. We have a ton of feedback this week, which is really awesome. I'm super excited about this. So we're just going to try to power through these because there's a lot of them, but we really wanted to make sure that we hit up everybody who shared their memories about the podcast and their thoughts on Sense8 as well. So Danielle, will you take this first one?
I'd love to. Your best friend Stella at Jackson Kills said, "What a ride. I look forward to the next series. Heart."
Aww.
Heart right back at you.
You will look forward to the next series. Trust me.
Yep. We'll get there.
Caitlin, will you take this one from This is the Queer Place?
Sure. This is the Queer Place at Nurse Brack says, "Every time you guys talked about who you thought might die, I screamed, 'It's not that kind of show!' at my computer. Feels good to finally say it to you guys. My exact words after the finale were, 'I don't care if it's unrealistic and self-indulgent, that's why I watch it.'"
It's totally fair.
I mean, a lot of people got shot. Like a lot of people were very close to dying many times, like many of the lead characters. So, like, especially. Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of deaths. I've
never happier to be wrong about someone dying than with this show, because it wouldn't have been.
Riley's dad. He Riley's survived.
Kala's dad.
Oh, true. Yeah. Kristen, will you get this one from Laura Morrow?
Sure, yeah. Laura Morrow at Laura Morrow 123 says, "So I fell so far behind on Sense8, and I am so glad you all made comments about Sun being basically naked during her chase scene. All I kept thinking was, why are you not wearing clothes? But as always, awesome work on another round. So excited to see what is next." Thanks, Laura. Awesome. Yeah, no.
Cool. And a whole bunch of people shared their favorite moments with us as well. And seeing as I have no idea what's going on in this first one, Mitch, do you want to read this?
Thanks. I figured. I did. That's weird. From Milton at Milton 0112. This is the fake, like, Milton account that's always talking to us.
Whispers.
Whispers. I get it now. I put it together when I said that. The moment Mr. Bogdanow, was caught. It's Wolfgang.
Wolfgang
was caught. Okay. I had to hear it out loud in my head to hear, because I remember him saying that name. I'm sorry for...
Is Milton 0112, is he okay?
No. I think he's just really committed.
Yeah, super committed.
Super committed.
Even though he's pretty dead, just like the Snape account that's still around sometimes, but whatever.
All right, Natalie's. Why don't you take this next one?
Yep, so this is the queer place, Nurse Brack. His favorite moments were Wolfgang's pink denim jacket and fanny pack is everything to me. I mean, same, but... Oh, that jacket is so good. Sun and Kathy are showing up to watch the fireworks with Will. It's just such a nice moment. The whole what's up sequence and, of course, Danny telling off Whispers. Yeah, Danny with the gun and screaming at Whispers was also very good.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Leah at LeahTA11 also shared a bunch of moments. She said, I need to make a list. Anytime Lido gets to shine, like in the screaming scene in the museum, the pride celebrations, Amanita's quick thinking, like below, and apparently she put in a gif of Amanita and the tampon. Remember that? Oh. That was good times. And finally, Hernando, just Hernando. He's such a beautiful soul. God, he is. He is. Super beautiful.
Yeah.
Danielle, I feel like this next one's a good one for you.
Sure. Laura Morrow's favorite moment. She has so many, but the What's Going On song for sure. And Def when they all meet up for the first time.
Yeah, that's nice.
Great choices.
Caitlin, this is a big one, but you want to take this one from Blue Spot 76?
Okay, so at Blue Spot, 0811 says, when Soojin says goodbye to Sun on the roof, don't let it be at the expense of your beautiful heart. It is as soft as a baby bird's. Please excuse me if I didn't quote it correctly. And so many other moments. Kathy is joining Riley on the plane, in awe about flying, their conversation about luck, happiness, and privilege, Will and Riley's first kiss, the concert in Reykjavik, reliving everyone's first birth, Hernando explaining that love, like art, must always be free, Lido explaining what it takes to be a good lover, Kathy's positivity in general. Man, that guy is resilient. When Riley's dad picks her up at the airport playing the ukulele with his version of Bob O'Reilly. Oh, and all of them listening to that Depeche Mode song, I Feel You, while driving to Naples. I can't stop.
I'll say, I love that I Feel You, because that's a song that I already really love. And I think I was watching that, and Leo was in the bath, and she was like, are you listening to Depeche Mode? She also really likes that song. and she could hear it thumping through the door, and it is a good, I love that song. And so that was a really cool moment, and the fact that everyone like was so amazed by it, and then like sharing the headphones with the non-sensates. So I think that was like a really nice metaphor for like bringing everyone in, you know, like bringing everyone to the cluster, like bringing everyone into the family. And that the family was not like that the cluster bonds are not necessarily as they don't take precedence over the sapien bomb.
And Kristen, will you take this list from Kellyish?
Sure, yes, lots of lists. Kellyish at Kellyish says, too much stuff, gotta go with a notepad image. And here we go. She says, Will getting caught making out with thin air.
Yep.
Really? When he got invited to Christmas activities.
Yep.
All of Sun's badassery, and specifically the graveyard fight with Moon. Wolfgang popping in when Kala is trying to lose her virginity in Italy. Wolfgang and rocket launchers. Practically everything with Lido, but especially channeling Sun's PMS, I've lost a flip-flop, every time he and Wolfgang help each other, and depression. pajama Lido cuddling with Sun and showing off his flair bartending skills before dissolving into tears. Damn, I love this show.
Great list. So many great Lido moments.
I think that we can very safely establish that, like, the character moments are not, you know, pretty universally loved, like, by most people.
Yeah. This is a good show for that.
Yeah, for actual character moments rather than very confusing plot.
All right, and related to past shows, we've got two more tweets. Danielle, I know you just read one, but I feel like we gotta give this one to you.
So Rachel tweeted us, and on the 23rd, I don't know why I remember this, but I'm the one who grabbed this. On the 23rd, she was wrapping presents and listening to your Veronica Mars eps. Loving them.
Aww. Me too. I miss those.
Thanks, guys. Aww. And finally, Laura Morrow at Laura Morrow 123 says, I know that you all might be done with Buffy, but I recently picked up an arc of Slayer by Kirsten White. It's a new series set in the Buffy world, and I really loved it. I thought it was such a fun story in a new type of world with a new Slayer. Wanted to spread the word. So yes, definitely, if you guys are into Buffy, check it out. And when I finish reading it, I will have a review of it up on Hypebol. So if you want to hear some more in-depth thoughts from it, go visit Hypebol. And finally, yes, the time has come.
Yes.
Where we ask, what is next? What could Rewatchable Podcast possibly be watching next?
That what moment is it, Karen? Is now. What is it? What is
that
it, Karen?
That moment is now. The next show we're doing is Agent Carter.
Heck yes. So Nurse Brack, you're gonna get a little bit of that MCU podcast that you were talking about.
Yep.
Just a little bit.
We've known this for a while, and it's been a hard secret to keep.
Yeah, when that message was an interesting thing to navigate.
Yeah,
I still stand by everything we said there about actually doing the MCU being like not okay, but
it's gonna
we'll
be
see how
rough.
This goes, Natalie, and then maybe
I think we'd all be super fans, but we'd be like super fans and regular fans.
Well, it's not just it would be like super fans fighting with each other.
it would be our
own Stucky moment. I know it.
And yep. Brittany's hot takes as being like a very blasé newbie who has like very specific interests. So
Karen's love of Tony.
Oh God. So a little bit, a couple of pieces of information for you guys. This is obviously, hopefully, going to come out 1st of January. We're probably going to take a week off, and then we're going to do our intro episode, so you won't have to watch anything by the next time you hear us. And then after that, we will definitely be starting with Captain America, the First Avenger, the movie, because it's an important introduction to Peggy. And then we will get into the series. We'll be doing one episode of Agent Carter per episode of Rewatchable, so same deal as we're doing now. Natalie and Danielle are going to be your hosts, which is going to be very exciting because they both love Peggy, love Captain America. Couldn't think of anybody better to host for us.
Are we sure that that's like a good idea?
We're sure. I mean, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. But the rest of us are sure.
No, I definitely do. I just feel like it'll just be like very intense.
It's going to be very intense, and you guys will find out why we can't do the MCU podcast.
Because we'll basically be doing it with an Agent Carter no matter what we do.
Yes. So
I'll be interested to see how this goes because
it's going to be interesting. Fresh. Also, heads up, Agent Carter is on Hulu. So if you guys have Hulu, that's where you're going to have to watch it. And if you don't have Hulu, buy the DVDs. It's a very good show. If you can't do that, we'll look the other way.
It was on ABC. Do free episodes still? They did with Lost back in the day.
They might check the ABC website. I haven't looked into that yet.
Without a login, I'm sure.
Worldwide, if you're not an American listener, because unlike Netflix, Hulu is American only. You can check the website justwatch.com and see where it's streaming in your country. Otherwise, you might have to buy the DVD because...
Very good.
I don't know if we have it on any streamers in Australia, but I do have the DVD.
So I'm sure iTunes, and sometimes YouTube, but not always for shows, mostly for movies. But movies, you can catch up on the First Avenger on YouTube. I'm pretty sure you could probably rent it there if you don't have it yet.
Yeah, and we have so Agent Carter has obviously Captain America the First Avenger, and then on the DVD of Captain America the First Avenger, I think, is a short called Agent Carter, which was we'll talk about this more in the intro episode, but there is a 15-minute short. You remember when Marvel used to do those, like,
yep,
one shots,
which they haven't done in a million years, and I really wish they would. But the longest one shot is called Agent Carter, and it was the. It's not really a spoiler for the series. It was kind of the premise that the series was made on, except that it is set slightly at the end of the. It doesn't really make any sense now that.
No, it's out of canon.
But yeah. It was out of canon.
We should definitely still discuss it, though. Because,
yeah, but the concept of it. So the concept of it is how the series got developed. Basically, they made wonderful one shot, and then they, you know, were kind of like, oh, this idea is good, and then they developed it into a series. So that's something that you should probably watch when you watch Captain America.
And we'll make sure that we talk about all of this on the intro episode so you know exactly what we'll be delving into on the next episode. We also haven't pinned down all the details yet, but watch our Twitter at @re_watchable and you will have all the most up-to-date information with that. So until then, hope you enjoyed Sense8. Hope you guys are excited for Agent Carter. Please stick around. Please spread the word. We really want everybody possible, to come listen to us. Thank you so much. And we'll see you guys in 2019. And until then, I'm Karen.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Mitch.
I'm Natalie.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.